This is our number 10!
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
It is a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. I think I'll wait till the big lead at 2. I could just go off on what I just heard in the newscast about how most gifted kids are children of privilege. It's just infuriating. And this is the doctor in charge of racial equity for the Seattle schools saying this. And it needs to be addressed. So I'm going to do that at 2 o'clock, though, because I have a lot of insights on that. Hey, welcome back, Nicole.
Hey, thanks.
Okay, see, let me explain something now. I think that people have seen, recognized, observed, heard that in the, how long have we been together now? 4 years?
About that. Maybe 4 years. Just under.
Okay. And we often will take vacations at the same time. A couple of times you have joined me and my family on vacations. Twice. We've done that twice. The cruises, where we've gone with a bunch of listeners.
Plus London.
London. Well, that was all work, though. That wasn't a vacation.
Well, I made it a vacation.
That was a working trip. But now, and this is a very disturbing trend to me. Last week, you took 2 days off to go gallivanting, leaving me. And let me preface all this by saying that Chris Martin produced for you, and Chris is wonderful and did a fantastic job producing. But you took 2 days off last week so you could go gallivanting around the globe once again.
California. Yeah.
No, last week was...
California.
Weren't you in Vegas?
No, last week was... I was Vegas this weekend. Last week was California,
The week before, you took 2 days off.
Yes, sorry.
I thought we were a team.
I know. But, you know, sometimes you do it to me because you get more vacation than I do. You've been here a while.
So
I have to pay you back once in a while. I can't plan my life around your schedule all the time.
But why?
I try more than most would.
Okay, it was fun? Was Vegas fun?
Vegas was fun. I really liked the Hard Rock.
I saw
two concerts there. And yes.
Who'd we see?
I saw Old Dominion.
Okay.
They're a fun band, country band, newer. And then Gary Allen, who has been around for years, and he's just one of my favorites. So back to back, it was rodeo week. National rodeo finals were there. It was fun.
There were a lot of good old boys.
There was a lot of cowboys.
Did we make a love connection?
No, unfortunately.
No? Okay.
Next time I'm going to have to go to the finals. Then I'm sure I will.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Wait. So now, you're not going anywhere.
Right. No, I stopped in San Diego on my way home. I spent the weekend there, or a couple days there, too. And
okay.
Now I'm good for a little while.
Okay. All right.
Got it out of my system.
Keep me posted. So, and here's the other thing. So I'm going to dramatically move up my knee replacement schedule because of this weekend.
Which I'm not complaining about. I can't complain about that because I complain more about your knee not being fixed.
And I talked to a doctor last night on a Sunday night who might be able to move it up. So I may try to schedule it right after the Super Bowl. In case the Seahawks make it to the Super Bowl, I have to be ambulatory for that, so I can't do it before that.
Well, you've just given permission to all of our audience to schedule their vacations for right after the Super Bowl.
No, because I'm not going to be gone as long as the doctor says.
Oh, I know, because I'll make sure of it.
The doctor claims that I'll be off the air for 3 weeks.
Not happening.
And I'll take the under on that in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'll bring work to you.
We'll put a line in at the house, and I think that as adorable as I am, I think that on post-op painkillers, I'll be even more adorable.
Oh, absolutely.
I think our listeners will all agree on that.
It'll be entertaining.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
Okay.
So funny. I think that's a real difference between men and women.
What?
The knee thing. If we have something that's broken, we go and get it fixed. And you needed time.
No,
until it got worse and worse until it absolutely is, you can't walk.
I'm in a state of desperation.
Yeah. But I know. I should have been taken care of years ago.
Not years ago.
Years ago.
No, because I did a couple of things that got me through. I was trying to get to where, you know, I'd be in my 60s. I didn't want to do it as a young man.
But just get it fixed. Then it works better.
Yeah, but then if you need another one in 25 years, then it becomes very challenging because all the connectors to their fibia and tibia are all drilled up.
I'm convinced that, you know, we'll have bionic everything by then.
We better. Okay, let's get to the fastest 15. So we've got a lockdown at Shorecrest High School. My wife is locked down. She's in a dark, locked room right now. And she probably don't want me sharing that.
Yeah, don't.
Well, she has to go to the bathroom. And she can't. She's in a dark, locked room at the lockdown Shorecrest High School.
So even though we've already figured out why they have a lockdown and...
They have students who brought ammo...
Right, but they, I assume, have that student in custody.
I would think so.
So why wouldn't the lockdown be lifted?
Out of an abundance of caution. That's the phrase they always use. And speaking of our local schools, a teacher at Auburn Riverside High School has been placed on administrative leave after the district was made aware of a video on social media showing him seeking an inappropriate relationship with an underage child. Now, my question on this is, are these people, are they just desperate to get caught? If you're a teacher and you post a video of yourself on social media, someone is going to see it. And maybe you are so twisted by your alleged perversion, pedophilia, that there's some self-loathing going on. And you really want to be caught because you can't shut it off yourself, but...
I think it's not their brains making the decisions.
Well, but they have to have some moments of lucidity where they know that this is probably going to put them in prison, and...
No, they think they're going to get away with it. I don't think any of them think they're going to get caught. They think they've found the one that's going to keep their secret.
They deal with children who are the most social media savvy human beings... But they think they've found some dark web site that is going to protect their anonymity, you're saying.
I think so. I mean, it happens. People get away with it, and so they assume they will too. Everyone thinks they're the best at whatever they do, regardless of if it's legal or not.
Channel 4, ComoNews.com, they talked with a senior at Auburn Riverside High School, Sydney Waite.
It's not something you want to see happen at any school or in any situation, but it does happen, unfortunately.
Her parents certainly were concerned.
I had actually seen posts about it on social media prior to reading the email. When my parents saw it, they were a little shocked and had questions for sure.
I will say that Auburn police told Channel 4 that the alleged crime happened in Houston, Texas. Houston police are now investigating as well. And with the word spreading, social media filled up quick about this guy who's now teaching at Auburn Riverside.
It's a serious topic, and I think students at Riverside aren't taking it as seriously as they should, like posting memes or jokes regarding it. But it's a really serious topic because there were people at the school who were close with the staff member.
Okay, so at least they cut the guy before he met the kid. Okay, next up in the Fastest 15, the college bowl games were announced. And how about this? Chris Peterson, the Husky coach, who just announced last Monday. Can you believe that was just last Monday? I was on my way to do the show at the stadium for Monday Night Football. You texted me that Chris Peterson had just resigned. That seems like 2 months ago.
I had a few people ask me about that while I was on vacation around. So it got around quick.
Yeah, it did. But anyway, Chris Peterson, he's stepping aside. But in ironic, I don't know if it's irony. I don't want to be like Alanis Morissette where nothing in her song was ironic. But the Huskies are going to play his former team, Boise State, in the Las Vegas Bowl. Now, have you talked to management about sending our show down there to cover the Huskies in the Las Vegas
Bowl? That's a great idea. I like that plan. I think that Brock is going down there. I heard him this morning talking on 710, and he was saying he thinks this was mostly the stars aligning, but they wanted this to happen. And when things lined up that they could, they did.
Yeah, I think it's cool.
But he said he was going to be there.
Brock is?
Yeah.
Brock told me that next year he's going to do the color for the Pac-12 championship game in Vegas on Fox. And he told me that if I wanted to go down with him, that I can. So,
go for it.
Done.
Live it up.
Done. With my new knee? Are you kidding me? So, and then the Cougs, they're going to play in the Cheez-It Bowl. And I tell you what.
That sounds delicious.
I have so many childhood memories of the Cheez-It Bowl. When I was a little kid, of course, there were only five bowl games. You had the Rose Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Orange Bowl, the Astro Blue Bonnet Bowl, and then the Cheez-It Bowl. And that was all we had as kids. And then, of course, the Poulon Weed Eater Bowl came along a couple of years after that. But anyway, rich with tradition. And I wish the Cougs the best when they play the Air Force Academy in the Cheez-It Bowl.
It's really been around that long? Everybody, that is not very nice. Not everybody knows that it hasn't. And you just gave them terrible information to Christmas dinner.
Yeah. When I was a wee lad of six, we'd always make a point of buying a couple bags of Cheez-Its, and then
Cheetos.
And then we'd turn on.
You don't buy Cheez-Its in a bag.
Hey, well, what
they're
they come
in a box.
Okay, we'd always buy a couple boxes of Cheez-Its, and then we'd sit and watch the Cheez-It Bowl. It was really fun.
Mm-hmm.
Next up in the fastest 15. Oh, Joe Biden on the campaign trail. It's over now for Joe. He's not admitting it. His handlers aren't admitting it. But months ago, I said there's no way Joe Biden will be the Democrat nominee. And he is still on top in the polls. And there are some delusional people who still believe he has the best chance of defeating Donald Trump. But somebody has to say this is getting kind of sad now. He clearly has lost some of his mental faculties, and they got to pull him off the campaign trail. This is a guy who's had a distinguished life, and now it's just becoming kind of this weird spectacle as we're watching him fade. He was talking to a labor group this weekend, and I could not really understand the point he was trying to make in this 14-second soundbite.
$1.2 billion. So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store and in a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who brings out the carts on a forklift. What happened?
That's just sad. And the stuttering is really bad. But he's talking about spaghetti and the carts are brought out on a forklift, and nobody knew what point he was trying to make. And I don't think Joe, and I'm really not making fun of this, because I watched the long goodbye. I watched as we lost my mom to dementia, and I think there are signs there. And he's not going to be the president of the United States. And yet, why? Why are they still trotting him out there? Because they can fundraise on him? I know they're scared to death. They know that Liz Warren can't beat Trump. They know that crazy Bernie Sanders can't beat Trump. Buttigieg isn't going to beat Trump. And they're scared. And so there are some people who are still clinging to this.
$1.2 billion. So you go ahead and you stack spaghetti sauce at a store in a supermarket. You control the guy or the woman who brings out the carts on a forklift. What happened?
And then he did an interview with Axios News on HBO, and he had to address all of the stuttering that he is doing now, which is not a vocal tic he used to have.
The Atlantic recently published a powerful piece about your childhood stutter. The author says he was stuttering at age 4, and he writes after interviewing you, "I've been following practically everything he said for months now, and sometimes what is characterized as a memory lapse is indeed a stutter." Mr. Vice President, do you feel that?
I don't think of myself as continuing to stutter. That doesn't cross my mind that I'm stuttering, but apparently people will say occasionally, particularly when I'm tired, and I'll find myself searching for a second. Look, the mistakes I make are mistakes, and some people think I still stutter. I don't think of myself that way. What I remember about my stutter was how debilitating it was and how humiliating it was. But I remember stuttering when I had to speak publicly, when I had to stand up and read, when I had to, and it was mortifying. But it turned out, and I mean this sincerely, maybe the best thing ever happened to me.
But he worked hard, and he was able to get past it, and it didn't show up in his public speaking, but it's really bad now. And once you get past the stutter, a lot of the stuff he's saying is just nonsensical. And he was losing his temper with that Axios interview. He did an NPR interview. And whenever they ask about Hunter, his son, he gets angry and he's just losing his temper. And there's just a lot of things that are consistent with somebody who is starting to see things get pretty bad.
I think that mentally. It sounds like he's being told stories and told phrases to take out there with him, and then he can't remember them correctly, or he skips ahead in stories.
Some are his own stories, like the blonde leg hair that the kids were rubbing.
Right, but I bet that he had that story told better. Not that it's a good story, and then he just screwed it up.
Okay. Going to finish with the best audio. I was going to put this out on Twitter, but the caption has some language that I don't like using on Twitter. But a guy, he is out in his front yard, and right across the street in a driveway, two moose are fighting. They are locked horns, and this guy is recording it. And I just found his play-by-play and is calling for his mom to be absolutely delightful.
Oh, Ma! Ma, come outside! There's a f***ing moose! Or a buffalo or some shit. They're fighting! Where the f*** are you going? Ma! Oh, this is some f***ing National Geographic shit. Ma, call a f***ing cop to the ASPCA! There's animals fighting in the front lawn! Oh,
this is some bleeping National Geographic bleep going on here.
All the ASPCA.
Now, we are going to, a little later this week, we're going to debut our awesome audio of the year. Is that good enough to make the final 32? Do you have locked in your head any soundbite from 2019 that we played on the big show that you want to see in our final 32? If so, go ahead and text us now with your nomination for Awesome Audio, because it begins on Wednesday. Is that when we're starting it?
I believe so.
Wednesday.
That's the goal.
Day after tomorrow. This is exciting. So text us at 98973. That's 98973 if you distinctly remember an audio clip from the big show that you think should be in contention for Awesome Audio of the Year. And that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast Stories, Fastest 15.
Give us 15 minutes, we'll give you the world. Our buddy Michael Bumpus, I did the Seahawks pre- and post-game show with him, and we'll chat about what went wrong for the Seahawks last night. We'll do that coming up next.
Down to the nightclub. Ooh, women be riding. Bump shake!
Yeah, we go to Bump City after every Seahawks game because that's when our friend Michael Bumpus joins us from our Seahawks radio coverage. And this was a tough one this morning. You guys got to sit down with Pete Carroll the day after a loss. And I know that's never as much fun as the day after a win. How was it today?
It wasn't bad. You know, you're right. This is only the second time we've sat down with him after a loss. Obviously, the Hawks have lost three, but we've had him for two. And, you know, this happens. This is the NFL, Dory. This isn't college football where you can stack your schedule to make it favorable. You got to go out. You got to play against really good competition every single Sunday.
What did you find out? Here, I'm going to play one of the first plays of the game last night.
Play fake. Second down. Look to set a screen pass. Penny got a lot of running room far side of the field. Makes one man. Oh, almost makes a man miss and dives inside the 35. Taylor Rapp from Bellingham, Washington, and the University of Washington may be saved a touchdown, but staying down on the far side of the field is Penny.
And what we saw was Penny knew something right away was pretty seriously wrong, Michael, because he was pounding the ground. He was in obvious pain. Pete Carroll last night said it was a significant ACL injury. Do they have any updates as of yet?
No, we still have the same information that you guys got last night, just an ACL injury. Nothing's confirmed, but, man, it's unfortunate to see that guy go down, especially after the week that he had before. But you're right. As soon as he went, he touched the ground. You knew he was in pain. You knew it wasn't good. I was hoping that maybe it was one of those, hey, I just heard something pop, but I'm okay. But, you know, I was wrong, and prayers up to number 20, Rashad Penny.
Yep, okay, because that did affect this team because they were going to just pound away at the Rams with both Chris Carson and Penny. But that's tough to do when you fall in a huge hole. 21-3 at halftime, and the Rams were just kind of doing as they pleased.
Seahawks are missing a defensive player on the far side of the field. Now they get them all lined up, but three receivers far side, and Goff looks that way, and now he's going to throw, and a man is open downfield on the blitz. Down to the one-yard line is the tight end, Tyler Higbee, and I was sitting here looking. The Seahawks did not get a line properly, and one receiver was out there. The tight end lined up wide. The Seahawks give up a 33-yard connection.
And that's what you can't do if you're a professional, if you want to be a championship team, is what Rabel described there, and that's miscues like that. So what did Coach have to say about all that today?
He really just spoke about their tempo. He said the Rams did a great job with their tempo, recognizing when guys weren't ready, guys weren't lined up, and they just took advantage of it. And you're right, those are plays that cannot happen if you want to win football games. You got to eliminate the big plays. What's encouraging to me is that we haven't seen the Hawks give up that many big plays as of late. So that makes me think that, hey, that's something that could be fixed. You just got to move on to the next week, get back to the drawing board.
Yeah, and then after being down 21-3, the Seahawks got the kind of play that often can turn a game around.
Four wide receivers on third down and 10. Goff hits his back foot, throws across the middle. Ball's intercepted. Going. He is gone. Diggs takes it 15, 10, 5. Quandre Diggs takes it to the house. The pick six. The defense has come out fired up. And we've got a ball game, 21-9.
Okay, we got a ball game. And seriously, that is the kind of play that in weeks past has just kind of catapulted the team. And they you know, come storming back. But as you and me and Paul Moyer and Ray Roberts were all watching the game, I never got the sense that any of us felt that they were coming back, even with that play.
No, not really, especially when you miss the extra point afterwards. It kind of takes all the momentum away from me right there. But we felt that way because of what they were doing offensively. The Hawks just couldn't get things going. Russell Wilson was sacked 5 times, hit 11 times, and it never seemed like they could develop a rhythm on offense. So it was kind of like we were leaning on the defense to get it done. Quandre comes through with a big play like he's done ever since he's put the jersey on. But you're right, Dory. There's just a feeling in the air that it was just the Rams' night. It seemed like they were playing with an intensity that the Seahawks just couldn't match.
Okay, so now the situation, as we talked about last night, if the Seahawks win their last three games, and they're certainly heavily favored at Arizona, they'll be even bigger favorites at home against Arizona, and then it's one game against the San Francisco 49ers, and it's winner take all. The winner will likely be the number one seed in the conference, get a first-round bye, have home games throughout the playoffs. The loser of that Seahawks 49er game would be the fifth seed, have to play in the first round. Every game would be on the road. And, I mean, it is impossible to think of a regular season game that could have more significance than that season finale if they take care of business the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, and that's a big if, Dory. You know how this league is. It's the NFL. You have to come to play every single week. You got to go down to Carolina and get it done. You still got the Cardinals standing in your way as well. These are games that the Hawks should be able to win, but you got to show up and play. And if it does happen the way that we think it's going to happen, man, that's a playoff game in itself. It's going to have a playoff atmosphere. These young guys are going to be able to feel what a true 49ers Seahawk rivalry is like. Thankfully, it's going to be at home, so maybe the 12s give them that extra push, but it's lining up to be one of their greatest season finales that I can remember in a while.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it'll probably get flexed into prime time, so it'll be another Sunday night game, most likely. And that would be awfully fun. So let's see if they can just get these next couple taken care of here.
Take care of business. And I think that they can. I think they'll bounce back. This is a resilient group. You got leaders like Russell Wilson and Bobby Wagner leading the charge. They just had a little check. Got to get back to reality. Humble yourself, but still play that cocky, savvy football, and I think they'll be fine.
Okay. You know, we all just did. We all just took a trip to Bump City.
Down to the nightclub. Ooh, the women be riding, you feel ready. To the nightclub. We go bump to bump to bump. Bump City.
Fastly rising on my list of favorite cities, Michael.
Hey, you know what? You should run for mayor for Bump City.
All right, Michael, have a great week. We'll see you Sunday.
All right, see you, Dory.
Okay, Michael Bump is joining us. And we have lots more to do as the Dory Monson Show rolls on. People be bumping. Hey, let's go out to the presidential campaign trail for just a minute here. First of all, the Inspector General report came out, and there is some damning stuff about the FBI and CIA. And I guarantee you, the reason the Democrats scheduled another impeachment hearing this morning and afternoon is because they needed a distraction for the horrible stuff that's in that IG report. I haven't had a chance to read the whole thing because it just became available as I was getting ready to go on the air today. But I'm reading some people who are saying that there are some people at the FBI and CIA who have some things to answer for. But they got their little diversion with their bogus impeachment hearings that continue today. Elizabeth Warren, she is still battling with Biden for the top spot. But she was at the demeaning nature of being a campaigner. She was at a bowling alley. And every time she takes questions, people ask her, why did you lie for 30 years about being a Native American?
But even so, I shouldn't have done it. I am not a person of color. I am not a citizen of a tribe. And I have apologized for confusion I've caused on tribal citizenship, tribal sovereignty, and for any harm that I've caused.
Yeah, but she did it so she could get the benefits of affirmative action by claiming that she's American Indian on her job applications without any of the downside that comes with being prejudged when you don't have white skin. And I mean, that's her. She wanted the best of all worlds. She wanted to be a Caucasian person who nobody would judge her for her skin color, but she wanted the benefits of being a minority, and that's a sleazy individual there. So, but the Democrats are scared to death with Biden mentally fading that Warren might get the nomination. And then you have Donald Trump. And as you know, I'm obsessed with fairness. A few days ago, Nancy Pelosi got very angry when somebody asked her if she hated Donald Trump. And she said, as a Catholic, I don't hate anybody. And I'm tired of the convenience of religion for people like Nancy Pelosi. She couldn't care less what her Catholic Church has to say about items like abortion. She's a convenience Catholic as long as it doesn't conflict at all with her leftist politics. But given that I'm obsessed with fairness, I'm also tired of hearing Donald Trump pretend to be a Christian. Now, I'm not supposed to judge other people, but I did Pelosi, and I will Trump. There's nothing in his behavior, in his demeanor, that would suggest to me that he's driven by his Christian faith. But he was talking this weekend, and there is a little bit of a difference, a distinction that I'm going to make. But let me play for you a little bit of this as he was talking about the meaning of Christmas.
In 1923, President Calvin Coolidge lit the first national Christmas tree. Later that night, African-American community centers held an outdoor worship service on these grounds, and during that service, the Washington Monument was illuminated with a beautiful cross, a powerful reminder of the meaning of Christmas. More than 2,000 years ago, a brilliant star shone in the east. Wise men traveled far, far afield. I mean, they were a long distance away, and they came and they stood with us under the star, where they found the Holy Family in Bethlehem. As the Bible tells us, when the wise men had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Christians, give thanks that the Son of God came into the world to save humanity. Jesus Christ inspires us to love one another with hearts full of generosity and grace.
Here's the thing, when I hear that, I'm glad that he's willing to say those words. I don't believe he lives those words. But at a time where, you know, especially with the more radical leftist politicians, you know, where the only political structure where religion is prohibited is communism. And, you know, with all the socialists who are moving quickly toward communism, that's anathema. I don't believe Trump believes all of these things. But I'd rather have somebody who at least respects those things rather than tries to distance themselves from the basic foundation of faith. Hey, and speaking of the impeachment hearings, we had a view moment of the day today.
And now it's time for the view moment of the day.
Further reserving the right to object,
we will now hear presentations.
Mr. Chairman, I appeal the decision of the chair.
There's no decision to appeal. There was not a ruling and a motion. We will now hear presentations.
There's a ruling on the point of order.
You made a ruling on the point of order.
You made a ruling on the point of order, Mr. Chairman. You can't then not allow us to appeal the ruling of the chair.
The gentleman will suspend. It was not a cognizable point of order. It was not a cognizable point of order. It was not in order at this time to make that point of order. There is no ruling to appeal.
But Mr. Chairman, it's now, the rule was the obligation, not consideration. You are obligated to schedule, not to consider. You made a ruling. It is in order to appeal.
I'll tell you what, ever since they gave Whoopi a gavel, that show's gotten way more entertaining. Big Lead at 2, coming up next.